It is so neat to see so many new faces today. And as Harry said, we want you to feel welcome here at RCF. We want you to feel loved. And don't be a stranger. Come back anytime. And we have a God that's mighty to save. And that's what today's message is all about today. My name is Mark. And if you don't know me, I am not a pastor. I am not a preacher. I don't consider myself a teacher. I'm just here to talk to you today. I'm just here to share an incredible story. It's called the gospel. It's a Greek word which means good news. And don't your ears perk up when you're watching the news and all of a sudden there's a good news story? Isn't there enough bad news in the world these days? Earthquake yesterday, over 2,000 killed so far. People can't afford to put food on their table or fuel in their tanks. We have parents living with their kids because they're losing their homes. I mean, there's a lot of bad news. And I can tell you right now that you will not find hope in Parliament Hill, and you will not find hope in the White House or wherever you're looking. I want to share with you the message of hope today. I'm just a messenger today. I'm just a normal Joe. I'm a sinner. But I get to add three words, saved by grace. I am a sinner saved by grace. I want to share with you the story of God's rescue mission. I have a little niece, her name is Charlotte, and she was visiting with us a couple years ago. And before they headed off back to Western Ontario, Southwestern Ontario, I said, can I pray with you guys first and share a verse? And I shared a verse in Colossians about rescue and how we need to be rescued. And I said to Charlotte, I said, if you need to be rescued, what kind of trouble are you in? She didn't have front teeth at that time. And I saw her tongue go in and go, furious. Furious trouble. If you have not been rescued this morning, you're in serious trouble. Let's just open with a quick word of prayer. Maybe you don't pray, maybe you haven't prayed, maybe you don't believe in prayer. But I want you to give God a chance this morning to open your heart to what he has to say to you. I'm not interested what you hear from my heart. I want you to be interested in what you hear from God's heart today. Father, we come to you this morning in need of your word and your love. And we pray, Lord, for each heart in this room that it would be open to what you have to say today. We depend on you. We pray for your Holy Spirit to move us in a direction towards you today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Scripture I want to start out with this morning is in John chapter 3. Verses 1, we'll start with verse 1. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with you. In reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. Who is Nicodemus? Nicodemus was a religious man, a very religious man. He was a good man. As a Pharisee, a ruler of the Jewish council, he fasted 2 days a week, prayed for at least 2 hours a day, countless hours of study of the scriptures and memorization, teaching in the temple, following all the rules. And they had a lot of rules. He was a good man, a good living man. But Jesus knew his heart. Maybe Nicodemus was coming for teaching, but Jesus knew of the void in his life. He knew his heart. He knows our heart. You must be born again. What about you? What's your story this morning? Are you religious? Are you a good person? Do you do good things? Are you charitable? Do you do your best to keep the Ten Commandments or the commandments you know of? Let me be clear. None of those things will get you into heaven. None of them. Ephesians 2 says, we are not saved by our own works, but we're saved through faith, and it's a gift. It's a free gift. In fact, in Isaiah 64, we read, God looks at our good works to gain favor in his eyes as filthy rags. Nothing we can do can merit God's favor. Nothing. Maybe you don't believe in God. Believe it or not, if you're an atheist, you're a religious person because you worship a God, yourself. You worship yourself. That's your God. And the self is the worst enemy of all. Your philosophy or what you think does not matter to God. It's what God says that counts. You must be born again. There are no shortcuts. There's no loopholes into God's favor. It only comes through Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful that I have Jesus Christ as my advocate. When I get to heaven, and picture this, if God says, why should I let you in? I can point to Jesus and say, because of him. It's only because of him. If you stand before God, are you ready to stand before him with your philosophy? Well, I looked at it this way. If I did this and I did that, and the scales, the good scales tipped my way of the bad things, that you would let me in. No, those are filthy rags. We read in Philippians 2 that someday, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. What will that day look like for you? For me, it's going to be a day of joy unmeasurable. It will be an incredible day to finally be at Jesus' feet and bow before him in person. And what will that look like for you? Will it be the first day of an eternity of sorrow and separation from God? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He did not say, I am a way. He said, I am the way. You won't find the answer in your head. It has to be in the heart. And don't get me wrong, I love science. I get thrilled as science increases over time because you know what it does? It proves the existence of a God. As far as they can reach into science with all the technology, that link is still missing that they're looking for. And it points to an intelligent designer. Brilliant minds have come to that conclusion. Even Richard Dawkins, in some way, says, I can't remove the idea of an intelligent designer from the table. He doesn't want to admit it, but he says it can't be removed. So what if there is a God? You're faced with a decision. What do I do with this God? Somebody else asked that question. His name was Pontius Pilate. He asked the same question to the crowd before he turned him, Jesus, over to be crucified. I see no wrong in this man. What shall I do with this Jesus? And the crowd shouted, away with him, crucify him, we'll have nothing to do with him. Is that not a look in a way at the world today? Do you see it happening in North America? Our wonderful free countries are now turning their back more and more on a God. We don't need him. In the last days, we read that man will become lovers of themselves. They will look within for answers. And you know, it's popular to follow the crowd. In fact, it's easy to follow the crowd. You ever notice sheep? Do you know any sheep? I know a sheep farmer. And I can tell you, he'll tell you that when that first sheep breaks through the fence, soon the whole flock is on the highway. It's easy to follow the crowd. In Isaiah 53, we read, all of us like sheep have strayed away. We have left God's paths to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. What a prophetic verse from the Old Testament that speaks of us and speaks of Jesus. You see, the world, it's easy, but it leads to destruction. Let's face it, sin can be fun. The only problem is that fun is temporary. Keep stuffing that void that you feel in your chest. It's empty, that piece that's missing, and it just keeps leaking out. It's temporary. It's instant gratification. In Matthew 7, Jesus says, enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, hell. And many enter through it, but small is the gate, and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. How could God send me, a good person, to hell? God does not send people to hell. People go on their own accord. They decide that their way is the right way. Which road are you on? The narrow gate is entered through faith in Jesus Christ and him alone. The wide gate is entered with your philosophy and your ideas of life, self-righteousness, and good works. But it leads to hell. Hell is not a popular thing to speak about these days. Neither is sin. A lot of churches don't even bring it up anymore for fear of offending. But do you know something? Do you know who talked more about hell than heaven? Jesus Christ. Maybe he doesn't want you to go there. He wants you in eternity with him. It's spelled out in Romans 3, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All. That's you and that's me. Everyone. The world falls short of the glory of God. After speaking about the narrow road, Jesus talks in the next couple verses about beware of false teachers and prophets. They will teach a wide gate with many ways to God, an easy way. I feel like I need to apologize for those false prophets because they call themselves Christians. You've probably seen some of them on TV. They're saying, give me money and God will fill your bank account. Let me assure you that there's nothing in the Bible that says that God wants you to be rich. That is false. But don't worry, God is a just God and he sees every sin. And if those gentlemen or women preach that false prophecy and that false gospel, if they don't turn their lives over to Christ, well, God deals with that. He is a just God. Now, maybe it's those things that keep you away from church or keep you away from God. Those Christians, such hypocrites. Yeah, we are. We can be. We can really blow it sometimes. We really can. I can blow it. But I'm not asking to put faith in me. I'll let you down, guaranteed. I'm asking to put your faith in Jesus Christ. See, Christianity isn't about Christians. It's about Christ. And if you put your eyes and your faith in man, you will be let down every time. So we can't use that as an excuse. I'm going to close here in a few minutes. But I want to go to the scene of the cross. God in the flesh has surrendered himself over into the hands of his own creation to torture him, to murder him, which he knew about all the time. Before the beginning of time, he knew of this plan, this rescue mission. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, there had to be a payment for our sin, and that payment was death. But the sacrifice had to be perfect, and it was the sinless Lamb of God that went to the cross for us and took our sins upon himself as the perfect sacrifice, which was acceptable before God. He paid it all. We heard that verse this morning in the earlier service. I think Bob brought it up. That puts it all in a nutshell. Probably the most famous verse anyone's ever known. If you've gone to Sunday school, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." So Jesus is on the cross, and as prophesied in the Old Testament, he's being crucified with other criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And both in their anger and their anguish and their torture they're going through, they mock and they yell at Jesus. "Look at you, you're just like us. If you're a king or a god, get us down from here. Both of us, all of us, save us." But something happened to one of them. He listened to the words of Jesus. He watched the crowd. And his heart was penetrated by God's love. He saw the Roman soldiers throwing dice and laughing. They were gambling for Jesus' clothes. He saw the crowd mocking him. "Ah, you saved others. You cannot save yourself. Come on down from the cross." He saw them spit at him, laughing, mocking. He saw the instruments of death, that big hammer and the spikes that they drove through his nails. And he heard the words of Jesus look down and say, "Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them." His heart was penetrated by God's love at that moment, and he turned to his friend, the other criminal, and said, "Stop. Don't you see? We are getting what we deserve. But this man has done nothing." And he turned to Jesus, and he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus replied to him, "Today, you will be with me in paradise." Did you catch that? Did you see how simple that was? We deserve what we are getting. An admission of guilt. An admission of sin. "Father," or "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Faith. This, he recognized Jesus as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You see, just like the thief, we need to deny ourselves. That thief had no opportunity to get baptized, No opportunity to go back and repay all the money he had stolen from people. No opportunity to go back and say sorry to all the people he had assaulted physically. Faith, remember me when you come into your kingdom. So we have to deny ourselves. Yes, we deserve the punishment. But Jesus took it upon himself. He paid the full price. He died for my sin, and he rose again. And that is hope. That is hope that you cannot get in this world. I want to close with one picture. It's actually a picture of a painting that a friend of mine did. I can hardly get through this without crying. When I saw this, it spoke volumes to me. The disciples are out on the Sea of Galilee, and they're in a storm in the middle of the night, and they've been toiling at the oars, and Jesus sees them, and he goes to them on the water, and they see it, and they're scared. It must be a ghost. And Jesus says, "Fear not, it's me." And Peter, the outspoken disciple, says, "Jesus, if it's me, I want to come to you." And Jesus says, "Come." And Peter, in the middle of this storm, steps out of the boat and begins to walk to Jesus. But something happens. He takes his eyes off Jesus, and he starts to see the crashing waves, the howling wind, the rain blowing sideways, and he gets scared, and he starts to sink. And he cries out, "Jesus, save me. Help me." And Jesus reaches down and grabs him and pulls him up. The person who painted this, she didn't have an easy life. She sought fulfillment in relationships. She sought fulfillment in alcohol. She went everywhere. And then one day, she cried out, "Jesus, save me." And he did. And that's what she sees now. That's what she remembers, what happened to her life. In the book of Colossians 1:13, it says, "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." So I have a question for you today. Do you want to be rescued? Do you need to be rescued? Are you ready to say, "Jesus, save me"? If there's something going on here right now, you feel pressure, it's because the Holy Spirit's speaking to you. He did to me one time as a young boy. I remember sitting in a service much like this, all by myself, my parents on the other side of the room, because I was too cool to sit with them. I don't remember what the pastor was saying, but all of a sudden, God's love penetrated my heart. And it welled up. And I knew I needed Jesus. And at that point I said, "Jesus, save me." I hadn't even done anything really bad by that age. I've done more terrible things as a Christian. But I knew that I needed a Savior. In Revelation, we read that Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in." Is Jesus knocking at your heart today? Like the thief, "Lord, I need you." It's as simple as that. I'm going to pray in closing. And if you feel that the Lord is knocking at your heart today, if you feel you need to be rescued, don't leave this room without doing it. You're either going to leave this room lost or saved. There is no in between. There is not your philosophy. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So I'm going to pray, and if you want to pray along with me, the words that I'm going to say, ask Christ into your heart this morning. Let's bow in prayer. Father, I've heard your word this morning. I've heard your heart. And I know the void and the emptiness in my heart and my life that's been talked about this morning. And Lord, I need to be rescued. I invite you this morning to come into my heart and to save me, to be my Savior. I turn away from sin. I deny myself. And I thank you, Lord, right now for saving me and being my Savior. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. If you prayed that prayer this morning, don't keep it a secret. Share it. Come to me later. Talk to me. If you don't have a Bible, I'll make sure you get a Bible. But you have just passed from death into life, from darkness into light. And you know something? Nothing can take that away from you. Thanks for listening.